Alright, let's go ahead and we'll pray and we'll get into the lesson on tonight. Alright, Yah, we bless your name on tonight as we gather ourselves together in your presence and prepare for training school, get ready to go to the training school session on tonight. We just ask you to give us understanding and give us the wisdom that's necessary to put everything that we understand into action. And we just bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All righty. What I want to do on tonight is, there are some things that I want to start, preparing all of you for. And so I'm gonna do something that I, I've done before with the church on several occasions. It just was in a different setting, over the years. And I always, my goal has always been to make sure that we as a ministry walk in understanding. That was always my primary concern in being a pastor. I just wanted to, my concern was always, leading people wrong, whether that was with my actions or with my not rightly dividing the word of truth. And that was my main concern. My main concern was, okay, I don't want to teach somebody wrong. And so because of that, there are things that Yah has, there are things that Yah has given me that I want to share with y'all, because my goal is always to, again, like I said, make sure that you walk in understanding, and I don't want to hold back anything that I understand. I don't want to hold back anything I understand. I want to release that information, with you, so that you have certain fundamentals on how to approach scriptures, how to study and different things like that. Because of what I'm called to do, there are things that I see, it's just within my call. And there are things that I see that people may not see, but again, that's because of my gift. But I still want to teach fundamental principles, and I'm going to use three on tonight. I'm not saying these are the only three. I just want to give you three principles. I said amen. I just want to give you three principles by which I use to understand scripture. We know obviously the primary thing is the Ruach, the Spirit, Nuach, the Spirit resting upon us, and so that is the primary thing. So I don't pick up, this is just me, I'm not saying that's what, I'm checking with Yah before I say what I'm about to say, and he's like, okay, it's okay. I'm not saying this is something that you have to do. This is just something that I do. I don't mess with my Bible if the Spirit is not resting on me. Because I won't understand it, and I know I can't understand apart from the Spirit. That the Spirit will teach us all things that's written, and so from that perspective, I'm very careful about picking up the. The Bible to try to read it, because it's vital information. It is what we confess. It is our life. This is our Bible. This is our life. Must live that life. Must study the book. Must meditate in the book. It's our roadmap for living. There's a reason why we say that. Our Savior Yahushua said, And Matthew 4, he says, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, which sustains the physical body. But we live, we're able to live life, or we're sustained by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah. You know we got to eat food, but that bottom line is we live by what Yah says. Because you can have all the food in the world, but if you're not, you know, if we're not living by Yah, you know, we'd just be a starving person with a lot of food, you know. And so I want to share these three concepts that I use. And again, I'm not saying, you know, I want to encourage you by, you know, I don't want you sitting up there and say, well, I'm not going to pick up the Bible, but pastor said don't try to read the Bible, study the Bible, anything, you know, unless the Spirit is on me. That's how he deals with me, you know. But I had to get to that point, okay? And before I got to that point, you know, I would pick it up and do it on a daily basis and different things like that. And so, you know, we have to start somewhere. I still do it on a daily basis. It's just that the way I, you know, matured in my relationship with Yah, it's just that I want him dealing with me when I sit down and look at Scripture. And he always does. If he's not, I'll put the Bible out. Sometimes I picked it up, and I don't feel the ruach. Then I just put it down and be like, okay, I'll deal with this a little bit later on. Okay. Now, I'm going to use three passages in order to show you the fundamental principles of how to study. And like I said, I'm just going to use three for now, and I'm not saying these are the only three. It's just that these are the one that Yah is leading me to explain now. And what we'll do is we'll start out in Luke. We'll start in Luke chapter 6, and we'll start to deal with these three fundamental principles that I've used for decades in studying, and it's gotten me to this point to where I am now in how I see scriptures. You know, it had to start somewhere, and then once I got those fundamental principles down, Yah was like, okay, now you're ready for me to deal with you and unseal things and stuff like that. But this is foundation by which I did. And so I'm going to start in Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to just look at verse 38 first to lay the foundation for the first point that I wanted to make, the first fundamental principle. You see this a lot. I'll read the verse and then I'll make a comment. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and run it over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Now, when you look at verse 38, the majority of preachers, when they approach verse 38, what is the first thing that they bring to mind when they quote verse 38? If you hear the preacher most commonly use topic that's talked about in verse 38. Again, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured unto you again. Well, every sitting that pretty much that I had been in over the years, and even I taught myself at times because, you know, there was a lack of understanding, you know, from the scriptures being unsealed because I was operating within these doctrines. First thing that comes to mind is money. When you look at this as a passage that's always used, you know, it is mainly used a lot of times when. You know, when someone you know, when the church is getting ready to take up the tithe and the offerings and different things like that. So they would always sit down, or when it's always taught on, it was always approached from a perspective of, you know, if you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shake together, run it over, shall men give it to your bosom. So everybody approached it from the standpoint of I'm going to do this because in doing so, I'm going to get. This verse always left me with the impression that I always had to do something before Yah would do something for me. And so because of that, you know, and probably, you know, a lot of you can testify to the same thing happened to you where, you know, a lot of money was given based upon this passage. And so in order to understand this, you know, although we've dealt with some things before, I want to deal with it from a perspective of how to understand this passage and how to understand any passage. I'm just using this passage. I'm using this verse. But I want to give you some principles, and it will show you how to look at any scripture. And therefore, no one would be able to quote something without you understanding the true meaning, okay? Or at least having the capability of understanding the true meaning. You know, you get a lot of people, especially, I see this on Facebook, I see it in, you know, over the years people have posted scriptures on their walls and their offices, you know, all these different scriptures everywhere, and you know, and when you look at these scriptures, you know, people, it's like everybody finds or pull out scriptures that is, you know, one of their favorites, you know, so to speak. You know, I had favorite scriptures and things like that, and so, but I had those favorite scriptures because of again, the lack of understanding. So the first fundamental principle in understanding verse 38 is the first thing we have to do when we look at any scripture, remember, is when we look at any scripture, it's just that I'm using verse 38 as an example in teaching a lesson so that we can understand the whole Bible works this way, okay? The way we understand verse 38 is we have to look at it from a subject matter perspective. What is this in reference to when it's saying give and it shall be given unto you? Is this really talking about money? What is the subject matter? I hear preachers talk about money. I used it in the past when I didn't understand. And so I noticed that everybody used this scripture, first of all, from a perspective of money, and then they used it for anything else that has to do with a perspective of them wanting something. Everybody who wants something uses this verse. And so, you know, I just have to say it bluntly. It's like we take this verse and we use it to prostitute Yah. I want something, and since I want something, I'm going to do something. You know, give and it shall be given to you. I got to sow something. I got to plant a seed in order for it to grow up and become a harvest so that I can reap the harvest. So in order to understand what's really going on in this verse, or any other verse that you read, you can't just sit down and look at a verse and be like, woohoo, yeah, I like that. That's just nice. I like that. I felt good when I read that. It may not be talking to you. Okay? I got a little bit ahead of myself, but that's okay. And so we look at it from the subject matter. The subject matter. Now, in order to look at it from the subject matter, what do we do? We know we can't just stay on verse 38 to go to the subject matter. And so what we start doing is going back up from verse 38, and we start working our way back, and if we don't have the subject matter, understand the subject matter for working our way back from a few scriptures, then we need to go all the way back up to verse 1. Always beware of any preacher who will pull a verse out and just read it without you understanding that there's a subject matter associated with it. There are times I'll pull out scriptures and just read them, but you know, you hear me say a lot of times, well, I'm not going to read all of them for the sake of time. But when I pull out just a specific set of scriptures, trust me, if you went back up the first one and started reading it all the way down, you'd be like, yeah, we're in the same subject matter that he just left from in another set of passages. That's how we have to understand the scripture. You have to understand the subject matter. Don't just let anybody give you some scriptures, and you just latch on to that, and you post it on your wall, your refrigerator. And this applies to me. I always make, and I could apply to you, but I'm just saying, I always make sure we understand what the subject matter is. So now we from that perspective and trying to understand, attempting to understand what the subject matter is, then we know that we can't stay in verse 1. So we look at some specific things in the verse to help us out on how to establish the subject matter. So what is the main emphasis, or what it gives the impression of the main emphasis is in verse 38? Give. So since the main emphasis is give, church folks, the main emphasis is giving back to me. But the main emphasis in this passage, the subject matter, is there has to be something going on about me and you. We have to be givers. But okay, I understand that the subject matter is give. But now let me understand how this subject matter is presenting itself to us, so that we know what the scripture is saying about give. Okay? Now, in order to do it, you start working your way back up to verses, and you start looking for those words, those attachment words, if I say, for lack of a better way to do it. So since it's talking about give, I'll start working my way back up, and I'm looking for different things that associate with give, okay, with give. And so I start getting around verse 27, just for an example here. We look at verse 27, now we're 11 verses up now? Because verse 38, so we have verse 27, so 11 verses up, okay? And so when you look at verse 27, it says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. So now, from just looking at those set of verses, now I can continue to go up and still, find out and have understanding as far as the subject matter is concerned, but I'm just showing you how my mind is working from a perspective of subject matter. Now that 27 now takes my focus off of me. The first thing reading those two verses does, it takes the focus off me, because the scripture now saying, but I say unto you, which hear, I often tell people, you become doers. I say unto you, doers, those who are obeying my word, those who are lining up with my law, statutes, and judgments, I say to you who are doers, who follow the Most High and looking for the return of his son, Yehoshua, I say unto you now, love your enemies. Now, There are other passages where Yah said he hated Esau, Malachi chapter 1, I believe. He said, I love Jacob and I hated Esau. And so when you look at it from the perspective of love your enemies, it starts to deal with us, or starts to change a mindset. First of all, we know that in order for us to love the enemy, in order for me to do this effectively, I'm going to have to give you all 3 points, because they're all in verse 38. I was trying to keep from explaining them about going to other scriptures, but Luke 6 is just good enough to do all three. So I'm going to use first one now. First one, again, is you approach the scripture from the subject matter. What is it talking about? What is it actually talking about? Well, verse 38 lets us know it's talking about giving. So it's the subject matter. Then, remember I said a little bit earlier, and that's why I kind of got ahead of myself because it was just there. The second perspective for understanding the scripture is the first one is subject matter. Know what the subject, know what they're talking about. Okay, they're talking about giving. Okay? Now, the next one is the person of interest. Now, there are different variations you can actually name it. Name it according to something that you understand. I'm just saying, subject matter, okay, what is the topic? You know, you can just put, when I listen to someone teach, then I'll put down what they said, but I'll put things that relate, that makes me comprehend what they're saying. So I'm saying subject matter, but you put something with subject matter that you can remember. Okay, subject matter, I can remember topic better. What's the topic? Okay, that's what each one of us learn different, so you have to put things there that's going to help you understand what we're dealing with. Well, once you've established the subject matter or the topic, you know, whatever word you want to put there, then the next thing, okay, the person of interest. Now, you put whatever you want to that makes you understand that, okay, I need to know what the topic is, and I need to know who it's talking to. I need to know what it's talking about and who it's talking to. That's just another way that you can word it. Where is the way that you can remember this? Okay? What are they talking about? Who are they talking to? First one, what are they talking about? Subject matter. Second one, person of interest, or who are they talking to? Number two. Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? Who are they talking to? I'm just coming down in simple form. You write the way that may help you understand it. Okay? All of us learn different. So you got to write in things in a manner by which you can comprehend that information and you can take and explain the same things I'm explaining to you. Now, once you do that, y'all see me do it a lot. You see Alan do it a lot. We never teach you anything without giving you definitions. So word study. Those three fundamentals, the subject matter, the topic, okay, what is it about? What is going on here? Number two, person of interest, who is it talking to? Then number three, I need to understand words. I need to understand words. Our Savior said, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah. So Yah saying words, I need to understand this. I need to understand these words. I'm going to take my time with it. Number one, subject matter, topic. What is it talking about? In this case, verse 38 is deal. Number two, person of interest, or who is it talking to? Number three, there are words that I need to understand in that subject matter, who is talking to, and that will help me understand what this whole thing is about. Now, we've established in verse 38 that it's about giving. Give, and it shall be given of you. But now we need to start to find out, okay, who is this talking to? Is it saying anybody can just give and it shall be given to them? Well, we need to find out if that's the case. We need to find out if that's the case. And then once we find out if that's the case, we need to look at certain words to know how he's saying we should do this. Okay, now, we go back up to verse 27, and we'll look at these three perspectives, and, you know, I'm calling it different names. You just put down whatever you want to. You know, we're looking at three facets of how to understand Scripture, three perspectives on how to understand Scripture. Whatever's going to help you remember, that's what you put down.
because it doesn't have a specific title that we're trying to coin. We're just trying to get understanding.
Okay, verse 27 now says Luke 6, verse 27 says, "But I say unto you, which hear." So that lets me know this ain't talking to everybody.
Because if it was talking to everybody, he wouldn't say which hear. That means that somebody don't comprehend this, y'all is saying, "I'm not talking to you."
So we establish the subject matter is talking about guilt. We're going back up, and the subject matter, the topic is guilt. Well, we understand the person of interest is not just anybody. Not anybody can grab this and put it on their refrigerator. Okay? "But I say unto you, which hear, when you look at the word here, we go on to the next facet. What does it mean? Here, that means it's something that, well, I heard the pastor, so that means it's talking to me. What is it? I say unto you, which here. So what's the next thing we got to do? We have to define the word here. You don't understand what's going on without the topic, guilt, without knowing who is talking to, those who hear, and without understanding what hear means. We know that it's talking about guilt. We know that it's talking about in the person of interest, those who hear. Now, what does it mean to hear? Because I can put that on my refrigerator, but if I don't hear, it doesn't apply to me. I can't make it work. It doesn't work. It's just writing on the refrigerator. And that's what you see most people do all the time, is they take all these scriptures and they quote it and it makes them feel good. It just doesn't work for them. So now we got to define the word hear. "But I say unto you which hear." This is specific. This is not a general term when it comes down to what we're dealing with in this subject matter. It is only for those who hear. So that means I'm going to say it this way because it's why I hear my spirit. So I'm going to say it this way. It's classified information. It doesn't apply to everybody. It's only to those who have been classified. Only those who have been classified. Now, let's find out through the definition of the word hear who is classified now. Hear means to understand. When you hear, you don't hear, you don't just hear with your ears, but you hear it with your senses, the ears, but then what you hear, you understand. We understand. So now when we look at verse 27, it says, "But I say unto you which understand." I said, you which understand, love your enemies, because the person who don't understand can't love their enemies. But there's something about us that makes us classified to do this. Now, next thing we got to deal with when it says love your enemies, what it's talking about. You know there are different. Definition of meanings of the word love, and we all know it. It's just that we have a difficult time associating it with scripture. I love different people more than I do others. There are some people I love just as a friend, and that's conditions on that love. There are some people that I love that if they do something to me in a specific way, I'll be like, you know what, I ain't fooling with you no more. But then there are some people that I love that they just get away with stuff and just get away with stuff, and no matter how mad I get, it's just that love, I just can't just leave it alone. That's the love the scripture is talking about here. Those who have an understanding have to be put in position where their love has no conditions on it. The scripture here calls it agapeo. Okay? Agapeo
which means in a nutshell, it's from a moral sense, but there are no conditions on it, because it is difficult for us to love enemies. But when Yah is speaking to us, because he's trying to teach us the perspective as far as giving is concerned, he's saying, first of all, you got to understand that you have to love your enemy to do what I'm about to tell you to do. You can't have conditions on this, because if you have conditions on your love, you won't operate the way I want you to operate from a perspective of your giving. Okay, now, he says, love your enemies. When you look at the word enemy, and you go all the way back to his original meaning, it's an adversary. When you look at the word adversary, it means Satan. Satan is the adversary, and Satan don't always mean the evil source by which he influences mankind to do wicked things. A person can be a Satan, an adversary. Okay, so when you look at it, it says, but I tell you which here have unconditional love towards an adversary, towards your adversaries, towards your enemy, towards your foe, someone that is hostile towards you. It says love them, but we have to keep it in the contextual meaning now, the subject matter. Subject matter is given. So that means if somebody coming in my house trying to kill me, I don't operate in this here. I don't start giving them my stuff or my this. Well, I got a little here, just take my television. I don't give from that perspective. I have to keep it within what? The subject matter. Because now you get a person who don't understand how to stay in these three facets, the subject matter, they'll start now using it and saying, man, I just got to love everybody. No, I ain't going to be loving somebody that's trying to take my baby out. You know, somebody trying to take the lung out. I ain't going to be walking in this here kind of guilt mentality here in this subject matter. Okay? And so because people don't understand how to look at it from the subject matter, they take that and try to apply it everywhere. Just in everything that got to do with giving something and receiving something. Verse 27 again, but I say unto you which hear, which understand, love your enemies, love your foe, love your adversary, do good to them which hate you. What that's saying in a nutshell is don't let people influence who you are because of who they are. Nobody changes me because of who they are. We have to make up our mind that it's that way. In understanding, don't let anybody, you know, I like to call it at times, don't let anybody take your power. You're supposed to be, as a child of the Most High God, an influencer. So you go in and you spread the power of Yah. You don't go in and somebody latch themselves onto you and now you operating within the confines of how they have fit the environment. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Okay? Do good to them which hate you. Okay? Don't love them less because they don't love you. In other words, my love is not based upon how you love me. I don't want to love her or him just as much as they love me. And if they don't love me, then I'm not going to love them. That's not the way we give. See, we sit in the subject matter. That's not the way we give. That's not the way we operate as a person of interest in this conversation. Okay? Now, verse 28 says, bless them that curse you. Don't be like them. You walk in understanding. Don't be a fool because they being a fool. You know, we all need prayer in there sometimes, you know. We're all growing. bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. You see the mindset that Yah is establishing that we should walk in understanding on? Then we see the verse now coming in again. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. This is not about you. Yah is saying, I'm teaching you the fundamental principles of giving, but first of all, you got to understand the subject matter. The subject matter is give, and the person of interest is you who hear. And since we understand now what hear means, it means understand. So you who understand, we who understand must know that everything about us in association with giving has nothing to do with our self-interest. Because if it was about me, you're going to fight me. You're going to take my clothes and then think I'm going to give you my phone. You're going to take my jacket and then think I'm going to give you my coat? A person who looks at this from a selfish perspective that said, I'm only giving because I'm looking for something in return. I'm looking for a bottom line. Yah said that person doesn't have understanding and they're always going to be looking for something, you know, they're going to be a harsh person that's always looking for something in return. Whatever they do, they're always looking for something in return. And if you don't do anything for me, then I'm not going to do anything for you. Yah said that individual doesn't have understanding. Don't do things for people because they do it for you. That is a person that has no understanding. That's a person that doesn't hear. Verse 29, and unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. If they take your jacket, then fine, you know. He's giving us an understanding. If they take your garment, your vest, your robe, then let them have the coat. Don't say, well, you can't take my coat. He's teaching us the concept. He's not like, going around saying, somebody grab your clothes and try to take them. You just let them have it. That's not the subject matter. See, because now people will leave and say, well, man, I'm just going to let them have it. Because the Bible said, if they take your stuff, then if they want your jacket, just give them your jacket. And if they want your coat, just give them your coat. Now you walk around cold because you don't understand the subject matter. Yah is teaching us the proper perspective on how to give. So he said the first thing you need to understand about giving is you can't be about yourself. He explained all those examples, not for us to go out and do those examples. He explained all those examples so that we'll know how we're supposed to operate from a perspective of giving. It is not about you. It is not about me. It's not about us. But the first thing you got to understand about this subject matter, giving is not from a selfish perspective that looks for something in return. Now, I didn't say something wasn't going to come back. I'm just saying that's not our goal. But most people are so selfish that everything they do, it has an underlying motive designed to get something back. I'll do this, but I'm looking for something. That's religion. We're not religious. We are hearers. We walk and understand it, so we can approach it from that perspective. Now, verse 30, we're in it more so in the subject matter. It says, give to every man that asketh of thee. Well, if we just take that, man, you don't have any folks to ask you for stuff. He's trying to teach us a concept by which we should understand the perspective of giving. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now we know, in order for us to give to every man that asketh of thee, we know the Spirit got to be involved. Because if the Spirit wasn't involved, we would never have nothing. Because we were always giving to everybody that asked. Everybody be like, shoot, Lord, we'll give you something every time you ask for it. I'm just going to ask Lord for something every day. Okay. Verse 31. And as ye would, okay, we're starting to get down to the bottom of this thing. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So that changed the whole perspective now. Now my mindset is, I'm not giving so that I can get something back. I'm giving with a mindset of putting myself in that individual's shoes. So I don't have to have the mindset of giving everybody that asks me, you know, because there may be something that's going on with that individual that the Spirit of Yah may not be dealing with me on and saying, well, see, Lon, you could be in a situation that way too. I'll give you an example. Thank you, y'all. I'm not gonna give a crack addict some crack because I'm putting myself in the shoes saying if I was a crack addict, I want the crack. So you can't throw everything in there is what I'm saying in a nutshell. Okay? So that's why it takes wisdom and we have to be led by the Spirit of Yah for us to get his concern. But verse 31 says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. He's still coming with some of the four verse 32. Now, what did it talk about earlier? Love. See, he's bringing it full circle now. Verse 32 said, for if ye love them that love you, what thank have ye? What benefit is that? Who benefits from people who only love folks who love them? Who benefits from people who only do things for folks who do stuff for them? That's why he said, love your enemy. He takes it from a perspective of the subject matter and says, okay, I want you to give, but in order for you to understand how I want you to give, First of all, I have to teach you a concept that's in the subject matter that says you got to love your enemy. You can't have no conditions on your giving. That's the bottom line. That's why he says in verse 32, he said, because if you have conditions on your giving, he said, then you only love those who love you. Because he's trying to prove a point. You only give to those who give to you. But if you are someone who understands, you'll give to someone and may never get it in return for that individual. Verse 32, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? What thank have you? Okay, what does thank mean? What favor is that? What pleasure is that? It's amazing how many people only love those who love. Well, he don't love me or they hate me, I'm going to hate them back. What pleasure is in that? That's just too much stress and hectic. You know, that's again, like what I had mentioned earlier, that's letting somebody take your power. If you only love those who love you, then that's just a vindictive power that, you know, that's going to keep us miserable. Because now we only function based upon how somebody's functioning around us. So if your power is mad, then that's what my power is going to be. If your power is sad, then that's what my power is going to be. Whatever's going on with you is what's going to be going on with me. That's what the scripture is basically saying under us. If you love them that love you, what pleasure is that? What benefit is that? Who benefits from that? And here's what he compares it to. For sinners also love those that love them. A sinner person is an individual who only dish out what's dished to them. Verse 33, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, what pleasure is that? What thank you? What pleasure is that? What good is it? What good is it to give to somebody, only the people who give to you? Man, I get so tired, we just be worrying one another out. All we be doing is trading money. You give me your coat this year, I'll give you my coat next year. It's the same coat, though. We just trading stuff out. You know, just using that as an example. Verse 33, again, for if ye do good to them which do good to you, What pleasure have ye? For sinners also do even the same. He's exposing the mindset, that is. What is a sinner now? Someone who is sinful. Someone who sits out on a daily basis to do sinful things. That's why I laugh at Christians when they come on, we just sinners saved by grace. I'd be like, I'm not a sinner anymore. I don't practice sin. I don't wake up every day to go do wrong. I'm not saying I do right all day, but I'm saying I don't get up with the purpose of going to do wrong. That's what a sinner is. Sinners do these things. Sinners love those who love them. People who practice doing wrong will love somebody only if they love them. People who practice doing wrong will do good to somebody who do good to them. I don't want to be in the same category as a sinner. Someone who practices doing wrong on a daily basis, that's their primary goal in life every day, is to do something wrong. I don't want to be like that. I want to be classified in the same category as that type of person. I want to be someone who hears, who understands. Okay? Remember, we're still dealing with the three facets. What are the facets? Subject matter. We understand the subject matter is give. Okay? Who is in reference to? The person who hears. What does hear mean? It means to understand. So we now have done subject matter, person of interest, and word study. We're getting to the bottom line of what verse 38 is talking about. Okay? Verse 34 now. Verse 34 now says, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what benefit is that? What pleasure have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So the very thing that Christians teach about giving from the perspective of money based upon this verse is wrong. Because people give money because they're looking for money in return. And when they realize that they didn't get the return on it, then they quit giving it. Well, the verse is never intended for them in the first place. It's intended for those who understand. Because those who understand will do these things that we're coming down to in verse 38. Okay? Verse 34 again says, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Sinners only lend to sinners, and they say, give it back to me, and I want some interest. I always want more than what I give. That's why this whole world is messed up. The scales are unbalanced because everything is set in place to gain. When y'all talk about a balanced scale, he never intended for one person to gain more than the other that they were doing business with. Y'all's perspective has always been even teal from this perspective. When you would go to a market, the primary goal was to provide a service for that individual. When you provide a service for that individual, Yah intended for you to give them the balanced scale of what they were purchasing. So you didn't have apples sitting there. I'm using this for example. You didn't have apples sitting there, and you paid $1 for the apples, but you charged them $2. That's not how Yah intended for it to be. He intended for the scale to be balanced, so that all mankind could benefit from the economy. See, y'all is in the business of giving us what we need, not what we desire and lust for. That's what we don't understand about y'all. So when you would go to the market, you would weigh out the money. And you weighed out the money according to the measure by which the items you were getting. You would put the item on the scale and you put the money on the scale. And when the scale was balanced, you got your product. So you didn't get more money than what that product weighed. That's a balanced scale. And so that's why this passage is saying this now. If ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. some wrong perspective of selfishness. I'm going to only give because I'm giving back. I'm not trying to, from the perspective of the market again, I'm not providing the service so that mankind can benefit from my product, and I'm not losing, but I'm not putting a perspective where I'm gaining way more than everybody else so that I'm rich. Everything is balanced out where that individual can come back and trade with me, and I can continue to go on with my item. That way everybody lives comfortable and nobody's stressed out because I've got all the marbles and you know, you're just trying to figure out how to make it. That's why the scripture had a problem with tax collectors. So that tax collectors were mainly people who were going around just robbing people of their money and property and different things like this. Getting way more than what was necessary for them. You see that in the churches today. Okay. Verse 35 says, but love your enemies. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. What does it mean by hoping for nothing again? When you look at the word hope, it means to fully expect. Said when you do something, your mindset, people will understand something, do something based upon agape. And when they do it based upon agape, they're not expecting a return. It doesn't say that the return won't come. It's that the mindset of those who understand is that I do something because I'm not looking for anything in return. I do it because it's a heart issue. Spirit can't deal with us if we don't operate that way. Everything I do it because Yah says it. I don't care about the results from that point on. I deal with a perspective of saying, I don't have to have anything back. That's why anybody will tell you that if I give somebody something and they be like, I'm going to give it back to you, first thing come out of my mouth, I'm not even worried about it. I care less. Because that's not the reason why I gave it. I gave it because the Spirit of Yah rested upon me, and because I have understanding, I did it because He touched my heart. Yah touched my heart to do it. The love is unconditional, and because the love is unconditional, I'm not looking for anything back from it. I'm hoping for nothing in return when I do it. Every time I give to support the church, every time I give to support an individual, every time I do something for anybody, I could care less about the return. That's what the Bible teaches us on how to give. Because it says again, verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping. The word hoping means to hope out, to fully expect. Lend, fully expecting for nothing again. And your reward, wait a minute. I get a reward for that. I'm not looking for it, though. Because I walk in understanding, I understand that the person that I'm doing something for is not my source. So I don't have to look for anything from that individual. I know I have a source who can do way much more than what this individual can give me back. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward, what is reward? Word study, your wages. You did it to someone. Something comes back to you, but our mindset, something comes back to us, but our mindset that walks in understanding, a person who walks in understanding saying, yeah, but I don't do it for that. I do it because I'm supposed to have unconditional love for mankind, the enemy, however way you want to look at it. That's the reason why I do what I do. Because I walk in that type of understanding, I never do anything with an underlying motive of receiving something back in return. Because I understand how the kingdom works. Verse 35, love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Oh, wait a minute. Those who walk in understanding should do all these things all because it manifests who we belong to. Oh, yeah, the reward is coming. That's not my purpose. I do this because I want to be classified as a child of the Most High. Sinners can give hope for something in return. Sinners can love those who love them. Sinners can do all these things that we read about leading all the way up to, you know, the verse 35. Sinners can do all these things, but no. When somebody walks in understanding, it puts them in a classification by themselves that manifested as the children of the Most High. Children of the Highest. For he is kind. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. You telling me I got to be like him? In my giving, I got to be like him? Wait a minute. You just changed my whole perspective now. Because all this time, I was thinking that the reason why I do stuff is because I want some stuff done for me. But you telling me that I got to be like the one that I live for? Now my whole perspective is messed up now because I realized I was messed up and crazy and he still gave his son to me. For me. For you. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet someone who didn't understand, who was completely separated from the Most High, who knew somewhat about the Son but didn't acknowledge him, while we were yet sinners, enemies. See there? While we were enemies, he died for us. That's why he says in this verse, I'm kind to the unthankful. Each one of you were people who was ungrateful. You were people who didn't care. You were people who was all about yourself. You were looking out for yourself. You were doing things for yourself. All of us in one perspective or another has done something we didn't have no business doing to somebody, against somebody, however way you want to put it. All these things we did, and Christ said, yeah, but my mindset is, while you were an enemy, I gave something to you. With that mindset, we as those who understand must be just like our Father, the Most Highest. He says, this is how I am, so since I'm this way, guess what? In your perspective of giving, you got to be the same way. Love your enemies again, verse 35. Love ye your enemies. And do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. Colon, what are the children of the Highest? They operate like the Highest. What did the Highest do? For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind to the unthankful. What does kind mean? He's good, he's gracious. Then he tells us in verse 36 now, be ye therefore merciful. See, when we have the mindset of doing something for someone else, even if the Spirit of Yah leads us as far as the enemy is concerned, to show no condition, okay, I remember what you did to me last summer, but I'm not going to let that be an issue because I'm a child of the Most Highest, and I do things unkind to the unthankful. Be ye therefore merciful. We have to be merciful because be ye compassionate. A compassionate person gives not looking for something in return. Yeah, there's a reward out there. There's a reward coming. That's not our primary focus. Our focus is I'm a child of Yah, and I walk in understanding, and I want to be just like my Father. Because my Father was kind to the unthankful. Be ye therefore merciful, verse 36, as your Father also is merciful. Yah said, be like me. Don't be like the church folks who put stuff in the bucket and hold their hands up and start calling their blessings down from heaven. It was all about them. And Yah is looking down on that and he's saying, it's an abomination to me. That is not what I did. They just put the stuff in the bucket, and they already hold their hands up, wanting the stuff to come back to them. We've all done it before, because that's how we were taught. give your money. As soon as you give your money, they put on that music, stand up and thank God for all your blessings that's coming down because you gave no tithe and no offering today. And we put it in the bucket with our self itself, and we threw our hands up there. Give me all my stuff now. Give me, you know, you give back more than what I give in now. We all did it. Y'all said that's an abomination. That's not me. You're no different than the sinner when you operate that way. I'm no different than the sinner when I operate that way. Someone who gets up every day and practices doing wrong. Y'all said, when that mindset is that way, you're no different from somebody who get up every day knowing they're going to do wrong and go out and accomplish it. That's how you categorize a person who operates that way. And you see that idolatry operation in churches on a regular basis. Week after week after week, you see that same idolatry action. I'm giving only because I want something back. Be ye therefore merciful, verse 37, as your Father is also merciful. Verse 37, judge not, and ye shall be not judged. You know what that perspective of judge now is dealing with? What is it dealing with? Stay in the subject matter. It is a judgment that's based upon somebody who's only willing to do what somebody does for them. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Don't be that type of individual, and that's not going to come back to you that way. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Why? Because when your mindset is about people, then y'all say it comes back to you the same way that you are. From the perspective of somebody who understands. If you somebody who's going to only do something, let's just use the bucket. But if you're someone who's only going to give because you're looking for something in return, then guess what's going to happen? You ain't going to get something in return based upon how you presented out in your perspective of giving. Something is going to only come your way when you give something. But that's our mindset. If our mindset is, I'm only going to give because I expect something in return, y'all is like, well, you will never get anything unless you give something so that return can come back to you. You get what's going on in your heart. So since you're selfish, it comes back to you the same way. Now, that lies the secret of my success. Things come to me all the time because I'm dishing out according to my heart the same way. Judge not, verse 37, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Verse 38 now, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, for the same measure you judge, that's to give. For the same measure, you go back over and look at the verse. For the same measure that you're merciful, verse 36. For the same method by which you judge, for the same method by which you condemn, for the same method by which you forgive, for the same method by which you forgive others, all those things associated, it comes back to you the same way. In other words, what you dish out to people is what you get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run it over. Now you understand why selfish things happen to selfish people because that's all they operate in is selfishness. You get back what you are. Plain and simple. It's not an issue of money. This is an issue of a balanced scale in how we're supposed to operate as far as life is concerned. What you don't want to happen to you, then you don't do it to somebody else. Give. When you look at the word give, we want to define it. It has a lot of words, a pretty long definition. It means to bestow, bring forth, commit, deliver up, take grant. A lot of words that's associated with this, yield. So giving it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, that just don't apply to anybody. Like I said, it just don't apply to anybody because we established that in the verse 27. That is somebody who walks in understanding. Somebody who walks in understanding will be merciful, and merciful will come back to them at the highest degree. I experienced mercy on the day. I was up at the building, and EPA came by there the day, and y'all just showed mercy and favor, and I was just in awe how y'all just worked it out, and some other things happened in a wonderful way, and there's some other things that we're now looking into and different things like that. All that came back to, and I understood why. None the thing that just happened today is as a result of how you carry yourself toward other people. If you had been this vindictive, harsh, harsh, always, you know, trying to benefit off of people at their expense, then that's what you would have got today. Good measure about it. Pressed down about it, shaking together about it, and running over just like your selfish self deal it out. So we get into verse 38 now. We understand the true perspective of how we should give. We should go all the way up back to verse 27, even verses above that. I just started at verse 27 because I know what the subject matter is about, and you know, for the sake of the lesson and things like that. And I want to teach you those fundamentals. So as I get ready to close, you understand the subject matter. Subject matter is about giving, but it also deals with it from the personal, you know, well, subject matter is number one. Number two is the person of interest. Remember, put the names in there that you want that help you understand. Then number three is you do the word study. You do the word study to understand, okay, what does give mean? What does hear mean? What does all these different things say? And it's not just talking about from the perspective of I heard it. I need to understand. You now have heard about giving. You now understand the proper way on how to give. Because it was dealt with in the subject matter, it was dealt with from the person of interest, and it was dealt with from a perspective of word study. Now we understand the true message of Luke 6:38. So now we sit there and we will, you know, have them visit somebody else's church or whatever, and they're talking about it from the perspective of giving, we know, okay, we walk in understanding. We're not operating the way that they're doing. And I'm going to give, not hoping for anything in return, and I know because I do that, then it'll come a day when somebody will reward me and give me something and say, don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it, Lon. And you sit there and be like, man, why did they do that for me? Remember what you did to somebody else? It's just coming back to you the way you measured it out. Now, if nobody's ever willing to do anything for you, nobody ever willing to show you kindness, if nobody ever willing to do all those things that you would like to see happen in your life, then maybe try changing that perspective and walking on the sand and say, I'm going to dish out what I want. I have to boast about myself for the glory of Yah. I love doing for people what I would want done for me. Now, that's not my mindset. It's just that I understand the concept. So when I wash your car, that's my car I'm washing. I'm doing it because I was saying, if this individual is washing my car, I know how I like my car washed. I like a car clean, and when I do it, I want to do it right. So I'm not just going to do mine that way and not do yours. I'm going to do it according to the measure that's in my heart. I'm not going to have to do your stuff, and then I expect you, all my stuff to be at the highest quality. That's unjust fair. Whatever I would want somebody to put in my hand, that's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to do it. Because the scripture lets us know that it comes back in the same measurement by which we did it out. if I'm always giving you less than my best, then guess what somebody's going to do to me? Give me less than their best. Y'all got it?
Okay. Any questions or comments? Anybody good? Now we can continue on with these verses, look at some other things, just walk and understand, but that I want to teach you those concepts by which I study. Everywhere you go in the scriptures, don't just read it. Use those three concepts. And like I said, you know, it's the subject matter, number one, person of interest, number two, word study, number three. But you word those in a way to where you can understand how to remember that. That's how I remember. You word it in a way to where you can understand. And every time you get your Bible from now on, you apply those three concepts, and it will help you always walk in understanding, at least to the best of your ability, of that scripture. Okay. All right. If no questions or comments, I'm going to go ahead and stop. We good? Okay. All righty. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for your word. We just glorify you in your love that you have for us by allowing the Spirit of Yah to rest upon us to give us the proper perspective on how to give. We thank you for your wisdom. We just appreciate you being our Yah, and we want to be just like you, being the children of the highest. And we give you the glory. In the name of our Savior, the Mashiach, we do pray. Amen.